And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Our visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II and reaffirm our shared vision of a world without nuclear weapons, as well as highlight the extraordinary alliance that we have been able to forge over these many decades.
Well, there he is. He hit a new low. I don't understand the animus of a man as sick as this. This is a walking psychotic. He knows what he's doing. He tells reporters his trip to Hiroshima is to honor all war dead. Now, the Imperial Japanese military, which he's including with our heroes, committed thousands of war crimes in World War II, resulting in the death of millions of civilians and prisoners of war. And yet your president, this anti-American walking disaster, stabbed all of our World War II dead in their graves. He spit on their graves. So let me ask you something. How do you feel about your president spitting on U.S. military deaths in World War II? Tell me who you lost in World War II that this ungrateful... Oh, I wish this wasn't the radio show. I wish I was just sitting in a bar room with you. I'd like to really tell you what I think of this man. He honors all war dead in Hiroshima, while the Japanese Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, says he has no plans to visit Pearl Harbor. But our thing, our anti-American creature, goes there and apologizes and then says he's there to honor all war dead, not our war dead. He forgot the rape of Nanking, the Banka Island massacre where Australian Army nurses were raped and slaughtered by his friends. He forgot the Bataan Death March conducted by the peaceful Japanese war machine. He forgot the Sandakan Death March. He forgot murder and cannibalism on the Kokoda Track. He forgot conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese army brothels. He forgot the mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo. He forgot the murder and cannibalism of captured American pilots. He forgot the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway. He forgot the bombing of the hospital ship Manunda. He forgot the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur. He forgot the extermination of survivors of merchant vessels sunk by the Japanese. Barack Obama, your president, the most evil anti-American enemy of these people called Americans, told reporters in Japan his historic visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II. This is the Savage Nation. It's a new sad day, a new low. You're watching a psychotic unraveling in front of your eyes. He knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. Now, it's true he was raised in a home that was run by a single mother, and the single mother poisoned his mind. But I don't excuse him. He's the president of the United States. He obviously was spoon-fed hatred for the United States of America by mommy, and now we have been putting up with it for over 7 years. And I told you that he would reach a new crescendo before this was over. He loves putting the knife into America and turning it. He loves throwing salt in our wounds. He loves doing everything he can in the last days of his despotic regime to make everyone hate him even more. I can ask you how you feel about it. I'm sure you will call. How do you feel about Obama spitting on the graves of our military deaths in World War II? How do you feel about this lowlife equating our heroes with the vermin in the Japanese military who are not their equals in any way? Massacres, rapes, murders, cannibalism, we didn't do that. Extermination of survivors, sinking of hospital ships, raping nuns. And he says all war dead. I want to thank Jim Hoft of the Gateway Pundit for launching this article that should really, really explain to you why Donald Trump is rising across America. You may not know why he's rising. It's because of Obama. Trump is the anti-Obama. Trump is everything Obama is not. Trump is everything America is praying for. Trump is everything America needs to wash away the filth that has been thrown into our faces over the last 7 and some odd years by this left-wing cabal of vermin. By the way, Trump reached the delegate number to clinch the GOP nomination. His campaign is over. There will be no contested convention, as old Teddy Boy Cruz was threatening way back when, as long as his surrogates with their pom-poms and their go-go dresses. No, he'll be the nominee, and I predict there'll be a landslide. And the reason there will be a landslide is that we all know we need America first after having an America that was kicked in the teeth while it was down by a man who should have not only been impeached, literally out of the starting gate. He never should have been qualified to be president to begin with. I don't want to waste the show on you on this topic, but I got to tell you something. I'm a student of history. Obama was not qualified to be president in the first case. He could not have become a Secret Service agent. Do you know that Obama could not have qualified to become an FBI agent because of his associations? Did you know that? Just by dint of who his mommy associated with, he could not have become an FBI agent nor a Secret Service agent. And here he is explaining why a man of his low character could not have qualified to become a mere FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. And yet here he is ruining America on a daily basis. If he can't ruin us legislatively, he does it morally. You know, in one of my books, I think I wrote, I got to find it, I've got to quote myself correctly. So forgive me. I don't come into the show with a full script in my hand, with a teleprompter ready to go. I come with an open heart and an open mind. And I have an idea for today that I'm going to get to while you're calling the show at 855-407-282, the Savage Nation. In Stop the Coming Civil War, here is what I wrote. People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long until they see a pattern of abuse of power. Then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. And I go on to one abuse after another, the NSA spying scandal forgotten because of Wolf Blitzer and the media. The release of known Islamist terrorists from Guantanamo Bay prison without congressional knowledge in order to let them go back on the battlefield to conduct crimes against humanity. He was not impeached for that. Flooding America with tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, many of whom were diseased. He was not impeached for that. I can go on and on. And I wrote, my question is this, will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? The answer is yes. It's called Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the American insurrection. And if you think that the American left is not going to riot and burn and beat up police horses, you're mistaken. They will. And I encourage every police officer listening to this show to do your duty to the Constitution and stand up to those street vermin. There is not a fine line, a very, very distinct chasm between legitimate protest and riot. And you have a right to control the rioters. Not only a right, you have an obligation, no matter what your rotten police chief tells you to do. You cannot look the other way when those rotten street vermin riot! Or you should be impeached. I'm talking to every police officer in this country. Do your job, damn it! And don't listen to those PC police chiefs, who are worthless mostly. They're nothing but politicians with a badge and a gun. You're gonna see riots. You're going to see atrocities committed against police and against property in this country because of this administration of ours, because of George Soros' funding, in my estimation. And you've got to do something about it. We're counting on you. Because let me tell you something, all you folks in blue. When Donald Trump becomes president, all of us will remember what you did to defend us against these rats. Because we don't want a civil war in America. We want a civil America, not a civil war in America. And it's up to you to control the vermin, the street garbage that's rioting across America. Take a look at them. Look at their bodies. Look at their faces. Look at the hate spewing out of their mouths. They're not America. That's not the face of America. That's the face of the deranged drug addicts, the gutter rats that every society in history has controlled. Gutter rats like this were always controlled by societies from the beginning of time. And not fascistically. Compassionately, we can control these vermin compassionately. There are ways to control these vermin compassionately, all within the law. But I want law and order in this country. I want it so badly I could taste it. Do you want law and order to return to America? Or do you want this vermin, the street radicals, to control America? How do you feel about that? But more specifically, let's go back again to my opening question. Your president spit on the graves of World War II veterans. And by the way, when you watch his shady eyes while he's doing it, you can literally see. You can see what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It's as though he becomes possessed by a demon as he does it. He goes into another state of mind as he gets down with his America hatred. You can feel it as you watch the tape linked up on michaelsavage.com from Gateway Pundit. Watch his face as he says this thing. Watch the eyes. Watch the eyes and you'll see that he knows what he's doing. It's as though he's on drugs. It's as though he's on a drug. It's as though somebody injected him with something to come out and spew hatred against American war dead. And yet he does it. Any other American would be arrested upon re-arrival into the United States of America. They would have the man put in handcuffs for having committed sedition. Indexed to selected Imperial Japanese Army war crimes. Now play it again, your great president. Play it again. Go ahead.
Our visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II and reaffirm our shared vision of
all
the world
those
without nuclear weapons.
Just sweep it off it. All those were lost in World War II, all equal. All equal. The American males, equal to those who raped and slaughtered Australian nurses, equal to those who mutilated Dutch women in Borneo, equal to the Japanese who committed cannibalism on captured American pilots. I didn't even get into the place in Manchuria where the Japanese Army had a special place for captured Australian and American soldiers and airmen where they conducted experiments on them while they were alive. Experiments on them while they were alive. A new low in human history. All war dead now equal to this piece of garbage. You think I insult the president? You've heard nothing as to what I'd like to say. Because I think worse of him than you could imagine. But okay, it's not about him, is it? Oh, he'll be gone soon. Will he? You think he'll be gone soon? You think this thing in the White House is going to just walk away quietly and move to that big, fat, multi-million-dollar mansion in Washington? Where'd he get the money from? Where'd the money come from for that big house? Oh, I see. He's renting it from Joe Lockhart, the former press secretary for none other than the molester in the White House, Bill Clinton. Joe Lockhart's going to give him the mansion at a reduced rate. Now, that's only the opening of the show. How do you feel about Obama spitting on U.S. military deaths in World War II? Did you lose someone in World War II? Who did you lose? Who did you lose in World War II? Tell this thing in the White House. Tell this thing and his minions, these vermin of the left, who you lost in World War II so they can be the animals that they are. And get away with what they're getting away with. We are the most compassionate nation on earth. The most compassionate nation in the history of the world that we've been able to put up with this for so long without reacting. Now, if you think I'm an unhappy, angry man, you're wrong. I'm a very good man, and sometimes I get very angry. But sometimes I get beyond anger. I turn into white rage. I feel like a tungsten filament right now with my rage toward this creature in the White House. So what I'm going to say is this. I'm going to take your calls, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to read you something from my palm reader. I know, what's that jump cut? I have a palm reader who I've gone to, Vernon Mahabal, for years. He's been on the show. He'll be on the show in the third hour. And I hope I don't offend all of my devout Christians and others, but you know what? I go where I go. Because he made a big prediction for me coming up in this year, beginning in November. And I wouldn't read it if I didn't think it was true. And the reason I think it is true is because at other junctions in my radio career and in my life, I've turned to this man, and he always predicted something that came true. So for those of you who have considered Michael Savage gone from New York, gone from Washington, gone from all the big cities, pay very, very close attention to something you may not expect right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Our visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II.
The Rape of Nanking, the Bataan Death March, the Sandokan Death March, murder and cannibalism on the Kokoda Track, conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese army brothels, mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo, the cannibalism of captured American pilots while they were alive, the murder of American pilots and air crew at Midway, the bombing of the hospital ship Manunda, the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur, the extermination of survivors of merchant vessels sunk by the Japanese in 43 to 45. None of this matters to this anti-American psychotic, this walking pile of hatred. He tells reporters in Japan, sticking a knife into the grave of all those who died in World War II, to honor all those who were lost in World War II. Once again, the moral equivalency that we've been warning you about on the Savage Nation for over 20 years. The left uses a moral equivalency coin that specializes in brainwashing the world. And so at the end of the day, you don't know right from wrong, up from down, left from right, good from evil. And as a result, you have a deranged society and a deranged world order. He is the salesman of deceit. I would rather face a diseased cobra in a cage than Nancy Pelosi. The hiss that comes out of her mouth indicates she's more toxic than a deranged python. We've gone from the Biden-Monhoff gang to the Obama-Pelosi gang in less than one generation. And it's not over yet. Trump's not yet president. Now, I'm going to talk about Japanese Unit 731 in this hour, since your president thinks that all troops are equal, since your president said he's honoring all war dead, not American war dead, since your president, who hates America and doesn't know how to stop a hatred, which is the mark of a psychotic. Hey, remember, he's the leader of America. He's not the leader of the world. He's the leader of our nation, not of Japan. And as the leader of our nation, I expect him to respect our nation, especially our war dead. But since no one will say a word to this creature, they're afraid of him because he's a monster. You don't know what a monster he is. He's been so carefully guarded by the press. He doesn't need a Praetorian guard. He has a press guard. And this press guard has reinvented this monster. But make no mistake about it, the Obama-Pelosi gang is the most toxic gang to have ever invaded America. We'll get into that in a minute. He forgot Japanese Unit 731 and what they did to American troops, the atrocities used for live experiments during World War II, but I haven't forgotten it. I won't ever forget it. Now, I want to do something I promised you, and the first rule of radio is always deliver what you promise. And I'll just start it again because I have a long segment to do this in as I come back to the main topic, which is the news topic of how do you feel about Obama spitting on U.S. military war dead? Who did you lose in World War II? It's a very important topic that we remember amongst ourselves, if not amongst the left. Even if it's an audience only amongst ourselves, it's important we talk about what we believe to be true. Because what we believe to be true is true. What they believe to be true is rubbish, total rubbish. They let students into Oberlin College, for example, which was once a great school, who can't keep up with anybody. They let them in under affirmative action. And now they want to abolish midterms and any grades below C. They want to eliminate a standard written midterm exam and converse with a professor in lieu of an exam because they can't keep up with the school that they were let into. I'll tell you more about that. These are the people now who are causing havoc in America. These are the unqualified at any speed. Just like Obama got into the presidency using the same techniques, he was never qualified to be the leader of this country. No, leader, yes, of a community organization. Leader, yes, of a fraction of the Democrat Party. I could see him leading a splinter fraction of the far left, but the man is representing America, and here he is spitting on America once again. So I'll get into that in a minute, but I want to go back to what I promised you. I've told you that I'm going to just set it up. let me do my bona fides. I certainly believe in God. I'm a God-fearing man. I always have been since I've been a little boy. I will be till the day I take my last breath. Okay? There's a God in heaven waiting for all of us. He's judging us, my belief. However, I have spent so many years doing other things. I've been exposed to other forces of insight and power in this world. I mean, I've spent nights in remote Fijian islands where I was the only white person in an all-black village over and over again. And I've been exposed to things that I can hardly describe to you. I've met folk healers who predicted the future by doing card things with cards. They predicted a guy who went with me in 1973 would get crippled when we got to a certain island. And he laughed at them. The guy was built like an Adonis. He was my photographer on a plant expedition. He said, that's funny, he said. Because I would always go to this card reader before going out into the out islands to collect plants. For whatever reason, she was famous in Suva. And she read his cards and she wouldn't divulge what she saw. She became silent. And I said, please tell us. And she whispered, it's not going to be good. He who is with you will become crippled. So the guy laughed it off. I swear to God is my witness. We take the ship off to the Lau Islands. We get there, we land, we get off the boat, we get off the launch from the boat. We walk ashore onto the sand for me to collect plants with him as the photographer. Within a minute, he says, ow, ow, bottom of his foot. Within minutes, he was almost paralyzed in agonizing pain. Luckily, I had antibiotics with me, and I gave them to him. We took him back to the mainland, to the hospital. They said the antibiotics saved his life, etc. So she predicted it with the cards. He said, well, how do they know? It's all hokum. It was chance. Say what you want. I don't care. I don't think she cares, or people who know other ways of predicting the future care what you think in your rationalistic mind. There are many ways to approach the truth and see the future. So having said that, I've always been attracted to people who do the odd. I've always been attracted to oddballs. Let me put it to you that way. Because in the anomaly, there is the truth. Ask any scientist about that. I mean, you don't look for all the cells that look alike. You look for the one cell that's different, don't you? We had a person on yesterday who was a cytologist who looked for cancer cells. She could scan thousands of cells and find one that's slightly aberrant, and she'd say, that's cancer, okay? So what I'm talking about is I always look for the odd in order to come to the truth. It's my way of finding out things, whether it's in people or systems. So years ago when I was a local host on KSFO, I'm talking 20 years ago, a palm reader approached me. I sent them a picture of my palm. And I would say I've only communicated with them over 20 years five times. And they're always at major junctions in my professional career. And before I made this move to the syndicator I am currently with, I had sent him my palm all over again, and he made predictions. And he made predictions that came true because I never thought that I would have what I have now. It was unheard of. It was impossible after what I had been through, having to go all the way to the Supreme Court with the other character for what he tried to do to me. But anyway, I didn't know what tomorrow would bring. He did, and he predicted it. So now I'm at another juncture in my career. I'm not going to say when. I'm not going to say why. I'm not going to say how. But many people are salivating right now, thinking that I will soon no longer be heard in major markets in America. They don't know when. 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 2 minutes from now. They all think that finally my voice will be silenced for political reasons. So I sent this to him, and here is what Vernon said to me. I have to get his website for you, and he'll be on the show in the third hour. Insights into Savage after January 1, 2017. Hi, Michael. I actually see huge changes coming up for you as early as this November. These changes will remain in effect up until the end of 2017 and continue in the coming years. If you felt like a lone wolf on the tundra in your career, with little respect or recognition from your media peers, except from your devoted listening audience, this will all soon change. In November of 2016... the beginning of a very powerful Pluto-Saturn transit will take place, which will last the entire year well into 2017. During this time period, you will receive immense support from others. I call this your return on your investments year. It is your harvest year. It is a year of status, respect, and prestige. It will be a very dynamic year with increased recognition that which will be bolstered by other respected individuals in other areas of media. For instance, Michael, it could take the form of a movie about you, or a biography, or a film. I see a new level of recognition for you from a wider public audience. You will have to make many big or important decisions in 2017, requiring you to negotiate boldly in order to receive what you want. You will be dealing with individuals who are respected and influential in their field of media. Michael, this will not be a quiet and relaxed year, but a very active and busy one. Now listen to the rest. Having said this, during this time, you will find yourself with a new level of renown, of a very different type of which you have not yet seen. This is what I mean by a harvest year. You will be reaping the rewards of all of your years of hard work in radio. A bigger spotlight will be on you, and you will be perceived as a crusader and innovator by a wider audience. You could even be the face of a new crusade. At the same time, you will feel very independent this year, and very much in the driver's seat. In 2017, your star will burn even brighter. Call me if you have any questions. My best, Vernon. Now dismiss it if you will. I'm going to frame it, because I will. And I'm going to have Vernon on the show later on to, I don't know, to talk about this, because many of you are skeptical of things such as this. You know, he's at thepalmistryinstitute.com, PALMISTRY institute.com, Vernon Mahabal. We've never met in person, incidentally. PalmistryInstitute.com. So you say, okay, you're a freak, you believe in this stuff. Yay, whatever. Well, you're going to tell me what I should believe in? Why it's worked so well for you, what you believe in? Don't tell me what you believe in, if you don't mind. Tell me how well it's worked out for you in your life. And then I'll tell you what I believe in and what I use, what my lodestones are and what stars I follow. And then you could decide whether it works for me or, you know, I'm not trying to impose upon you that you should go to a palmist. That's not the point of that story. I'm just telling you what he predicted, so let's see what happens. And from November on through 2017, let's just see. He sees it in the stars. You say, nah, what can he see? It's nonsense. I grew up with cynics. I know what cynicism is. I have a greatly cynical nature. But sometimes I have a great believing nature. Well, there it is. That's it. And so we're going to come back to the main news topic of the day about your hateful president and how you feel about Obama spitting on the U.S. military in World War II. Or if you want to call on the... I go ahead. I mean, many of you are my devout listeners. You love me. And you're probably awed by what I just read you. Then maybe you have something to say. But please don't just call and say, yes, Mike, I hope so, or we're with you. Jim, I want you to screen some intelligent callers who can augment this in an intelligent way for a general audience that may want to hear from them. Okay, folks, this is the Savage Nation. And something happened to me yesterday that I'm not ready to talk about that's so good it's hard to believe, that I cannot divulge. But I said something at the end of the last segment in one or two words that somebody may have heard out there. I said, welcome something. Whoever remembers what I said at the end of that segment gets a free copy of Teddy and Me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN.
They are paying very close attention to this election. I think it's fair to say that they are surprised by the Republican nominee. They are not sure how seriously to take some of his pronouncements, but they're rattled by him, and for good reason. He does a lot of the proposals that he's made display either ignorance of world affairs or a cavalier attitude or an interest in getting tweets and headlines instead of actually thinking through what it is that is required to keep America safe and secure and prosperous, and what's required to keep the world on an even keel.
Keep America safe and secure and prosperous and keep the world on an even keel when this psychotic is like a madman inside the wheelhouse of the world, who has made America less safe, less secure, less prosperous, flooding us with gangsters, flooding us with Syrian Muslims, flooding us with gangbangers from El Salvador, flooding us with diseases that were eradicated in America, and he set the world on its heels. And this psycho is saying Trump is the problem. Now, everyone's trying to predict who will win the upcoming presidential election. But there is a reliable source that says Donald Trump will win. It's a Halloween mask factory in China. Yep, you heard me. And they have predicted the right president since 1980. They've always got it right. See, they have to make the masks in advance of the election in order to sell a lot of masks. And they are predicting that Donald Trump is going to be the winner. They're making more Trump masks than Hillary masks. And they've been surprisingly accurate as an indicator going back to 1980. Yeah. Oh, laugh if you will. Go ahead, keep laughing. But there's going to be you-know-what to pay when Trump becomes president. If you think those of us who have been defaced, debased, pushed aside, spit upon, boycotted, are going to sit quietly when Trump is in the White House, you're mistaken. If you think we're not going to seek justice through the Trump administration, all the way up and down the line, you're mistaken. If you think we're not going to demand that those who have committed crimes and misdemeanors against this country are be brought to justice, you are mistaken. If you think we're not going to go after those who've gone after us, you are mistaken. If you think we're going to let Media Matters get away with what they've been getting away with, trying to destroy us by boycotting this company, our shows, telling companies not to advertise on our shows to drive us off the air, you're mistaken. They're going to have to pay back everything they've taken away from us. And I'm not the only one. I'm only one of thousands of people who have been made to suffer by this administration. Now, let me tell you something else. It gets even more exquisite, what I'm about to tell you. Your administration, under the sick man in the White House, sued a business because it kept male employee out of a woman's restroom. The so-called EEOC, which will be closed down under Donald Trump, if I have anything to do with it. The EEOC will be gone. They sued a private business for sex discrimination and harassment after a male employee who announced he was switching to become a woman was stopped from using the women's restroom and was referred to with male pronouns by his coworkers. Deluxe Financial Services, a Minnesota-based company that helps small businesses with marketing, said it didn't violate any anti-discrimination laws, but agreed to settle a case for $115,000 because the gangsters in the EEOC sued it in order to avoid further costs of litigation. The male employee, who now goes by the name Brittany Austin, publicly presented himself as a male when he was hired by Deluxe Financial, but later opted to identify as a woman. According to a press release put out last summer when the EEOC filed a lawsuit, Austin's co-workers subjected him to a hostile work environment. Listen what they did to him. They used the wrong gender pronouns to refer to him. If I have anything to do with it, those who are in the EEOC now in this division will go to jail. And they will personally repay the money they've stolen from American businesses. All the restitution will come out of their personal bank accounts. They'll be forced to sell houses. They'll be forced to deplete bank accounts. There will be consequences for what you have done and are doing to this country. If you think you can hide behind Obama's pants, you're mistaken. Because come January, there's going to be a real man in the White House. And this man, maybe not the first day, maybe not the first month. He has other priorities like rebuilding the military, restoring NASA. There are so many higher priorities, but you will be found out. Those of us in the media have a job to do, and we are doing our job. We're keeping notes on you. So pay close attention. You're going to pay for this. I guarantee it. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Our visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II and reaffirm our shared vision of a world without nuclear weapons, as well as highlight the extraordinary alliance that we have been able to forge over these many decades.
Japanese Army war crimes are well known to all students of history. I don't have to repeat the rape of Nanking, the Banga Island Massacre, the Bataan Death March, the Sandakan Death March, the Kokoda Track Massacre, conscripting women for sexual slavery in Japanese Army brothels, attention, lying feminists, the mutilation and murder of Dutch civilians in Borneo, the murder and cannibalism of captured American pilots, not all pilots, the murder of American pilots and aircrew at Midway, not all American pilots, the bombing of the U.S. hospital ship Manunda, not all hospital ships, the sinking of the hospital ship Centaur by the Japanese, not all hospital ships, I can go on and on, but the facts don't matter to this anti-American marching disaster. Now, I want to ask all of you sensitive liberals, especially those of you of the Jewish descent. I wouldn't say of the Jewish faith, of Jewish descent. All you liberal folks, what if Obama had gone to Auschwitz, not just to Germany, but to Auschwitz, and he had the audacity to say, I'm here in Auschwitz to honor all the war dead of World War II, and he didn't say the Jewish war dead. What would have happened? Can you imagine, Oy Vey, what might have happened from all of his supporters in the liberal Jewish communities across America? Oh, you don't want to accept that that's the reality of what he just did? To all of us in America who remember that American men died so that we can have the freedoms that we have today? And they conducted themselves honorably to the last man, and those who didn't were court-martialed because they were punished for violating the rules of war. They'll bring up the atomic bombs. I am sick and tired of all you backroom generals. Because, as I've told you before, and I'll tell you over and over again, we would have lost between 500,000 and 1 million American M-E-N. Men! Not transsexuals! 1 million American men would have been slaughtered taking the Japanese islands had the two atomic bombs not been dropped on Japan. This is not justifying or celebrating the agony that it caused to the so-called innocent. And let me tell you again, every man, woman, and child in Japan was told to make a weapon out of whatever they can get their hands on to kill any American that appeared on those islands. The estimates were 1,500,000 to 1 million. So the bombs were dropped because they wouldn't surrender. Terrible things happened. And now he goes, the first president in American history, goes to Hiroshima, and he apologizes. He said, oh, we wouldn't apologize. He just apologized. The hooded eye monster of America. You see the shady eyes? Have you looked at the shady eyes that he... If you go on to the link on my website, link from Gateway Pundit, Obama telling reporters his trip to Hiroshima is to honor all war dead, without mentioning the thousands of war crimes committed by the Japanese military in World War II. You'll see a picture of them burying Chinese prisoners alive. Ask any Chinese who knows about the rape of Nanking. Some of the worst atrocities in human history are conducted by the Japanese Imperial Army. He honored all war dead. He made your grandfather, your uncle, equal to these monsters. He equated them. It's called moral equivalency. It's what the verminous left does on a daily basis. So now you think the transsexuals are equal to your grandmother. Now you're led to believe that everyone is equal under the law, that no matter what despicable acts they may commit, they're just like you. Everyone's equal. I don't know what else to say about this. I've told you all I wanted to say, so I'll do what I think I need to do, which is talk about Japanese Unit 731, where they treated human beings who were alive in experiments, experiments with living human beings, including American and Japan and Australian rather, and New Zealand white boys. They caught them. They called them logs, maruta. They euphemistically referred to them as logs. And they used these logs for human experiments, vivisection while they were alive. U.S. prisons of war were subjected to vivisection, no anesthesia, ending with the death of the victim. Vivisections were performed on prisoners after the Japanese infected them with various diseases. They performed invasive surgery on prisoners, removing organs to study the effects of disease on the human body. They conducted these experiments while the patients were alive because it was feared that the decomposition process would affect the results. Prisoners had limbs amputated in order to study blood loss while they were alive, no anesthesia. The limbs that were removed by these Japanese sadists were sometimes reattached to the opposite sides of the body. Some prisoners' limbs were frozen and amputated. Others had limbs frozen, then thawed, to study the effects of the resultant untreated gangrene and rotting. Is it too much for you? I'll keep reading it in case it's too much for you. Some prisoners had their stomachs surgically removed and the esophagus reattached to the intestines. Parts of the brain, lungs, liver were removed from some prisoners. Japanese Army Surgeon Ken Yuasa suggests that the practice of vivisection on human subjects, including Chinese communists and American and Australian and New Zealand troops, was widespread even outside Unit 731. He estimated that at least 1,000 Japanese personnel were involved in the practice of these experiments in mainland China. They exposed them to germ warfare attacks, disguising the diseases as vaccinations, and they study diseases by giving them plague, cholera, anthrax, tularemia. Unit 731 and its affiliated units, Unit 1644 and Unit 100, were involved in doing these things to human beings while they were alive. And then when they invaded Indonesia and conquered it, they did the same thing, using tetanus on living people, frostbite testing, syphilis. Obama said that he's honoring all war dead. Does that include these Japanese sadists? Ask Mr. Obama the next time you see him, Miss Pelosi. I know you're a good Catholic. How do people in Pelosi's family put up with her? Is there nobody in the Pelosi family who's nauseated and want to vomit when she opens her mouth and celebrates this creature called Obama? Is there no bottom to her stupidity? Frostbite testing. Japanese doctors orchestrated forced sex acts between infected and uninfected prisoners to transmit syphilis. Rape and forced pregnancy. Female prisoners were forced to become pregnant for use in experiments. I don't even want to read the rest of it. Weapons testing. They were using test grenades on living people. They used flamethrowers on living people. They tied humans to stakes and used them as targets to test germ-releasing bombs, chemical weapons. Here's other, you could read it yourself. They subjected our prisoners to x-rays. They burned them. They injected them with seawater. They buried them alive. Japanese experiments. Japanese Army Unit 731. Is that who Obama is now paying homage to? His trip to Hiroshima is to honor all war dead? Again, folks of Jewish descent, can you imagine if an American president went to Auschwitz or Dachau and said that he's here to honor all war dead without referring to the Jews who were tortured and killed in these gas chambers? Can you imagine the outcry that would occur? Why is there no outcry when this creature does a thing like this? Why? Because he owns the media. Because we have a government-controlled media. Because there is no differential between Barack Obama and the American media on any channel. Tell me if you're going to see any of this even on Fox News. Tell me if there's going to be outrage somewhere on Fox News. I can guarantee you there might be a peep. But that's about it. There'll be no discussion of what I just exposed to you on this show. Because they're part and parcel of the government media complex. And that's why talk radio is so targeted by both sides of the aisle. That's why the Republicans tried to get rid of us. Yes, they tried to pass the so-called, I forget what it was called. I don't remember the name of it. The Freedom From Radio Act, the Freedom From Truth Act, the Freedom From Michael Savage Act. Oh, the Fairness Doctrine, that's right. Fairness Doctrine, Freedom From Michael Savage Act. It was pushed by Republicans. You want to know their names? I can name them. And Democrats joined up with Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein because we are breathing down their necks. They wanted no exposure. Republicans and Democrats alike, part of the same curse, part of the same plague, part of the same disease that will be cured once Dr. Trump becomes president. When Dr. Trump becomes president, he will inoculate the nation, and then he will have to go after the disease itself. But let's leave that to him, not to me. I had an email yesterday, an email from his number one. And he said, could you please send us your cell phone number because Mr. Trump wants to call you personally. I missed the call. I was somewhere else last night. But he did call me. I don't even know what he said. He'll be on the show next week, I suppose. He's on a barnstorming tour right now. He'll be with us next week. I don't press them. But he remembers his friends, I can guarantee you. That I can guarantee you. He's not going to forget you, the audience. He'll be here again. Meanwhile, we're following his success. He passed the magic number so that Ted Cruz can now pack up and go back to Canada. He's got the magic delegate count. All his surrogates who thought they'd be attorney general should put that hope aside for a while. They're not going to be the attorney general. So here we are. It's a new day. Something wonderful happened to me yesterday. I really don't want to talk about it. I just want to say good things are happening. The fortune I read to you from the palmist, Vernon, indicates more good coming, and I hope he's right. He's been right before. A bigger spotlight will be on you. You'll be perceived as a crusader and innovator, a new level of renown, a harvest year. You'll be very independent, wider audience, big decisions. Harvest year, big deal. It will reward you for all your hard years of work in radio. even though you felt like a lone wolf on the tundra in your career, with little respect or recognition from your media peers, will soon change in November of 2016, lasting all through 2017. You'll get a return on your investment. Your prestige will go through the roof. A new, he says, a biography or a film, and things are going to happen like that. It will not be quiet or relaxed. It'll be very active or busy. Wider public audience. And he said, you could be a new crusader. He said, you could even be the face of a new crusade. I don't quite know what that means. I could be the face of a new crusade. After 29 books, one bestseller after another, a man not honored in his own lifetime, a man spit upon in his own city. Well, all I can say is things have changed. I met the real city last night. I met the real leaders of San Francisco. I met the good people of San Francisco, not the vermin, not the garbage, not the criminals, not the creeps, not the green gangsters. I met the real people of San Francisco, and they ushered me into their inner sanctum. And I can't say any more about it other than it was one of the great nights of my life. It's a night I mark. And it's the beginning of something new. Not only what happened last night, changing my life, but how it's going to reflect what's coming. Because this, I never thought this would happen, or how it could happen, or that there were so many amazing, wonderful people in San Francisco who are sitting quietly while suffering the indignities of Pelosi, Boxer, Feinstein, and the others who have so destroyed and debased this beautiful city. How they take these women and hold them up as the models of the city. Let me tell you something, they don't really represent the city. They've ruined the city. The city of San Francisco was once a beautiful, family-oriented city. It's been poisoned by these witches. I'll save the rest for another time. That's all. So, here we are. Let's take the calls. I asked you a loaded question. How do you feel about Obama spitting on U.S. military deaths from World War II? Who did you lose in World War II? When I come back, I will take your calls on this, on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. The palatless relatives can now fight over what he left behind. All the children, the grandchildren. It's the way of all flesh. So again, I'm not going to talk about my private life, but I just say that I met the real San Francisco, the real people who really run the city in the best way, the best people in the world. And they brought me into a place. That's where I made reference to something called the Black Cat, and I'm not going to talk about it ever. And one of the gentlemen gave me two audios. One was the Metallica live at Grimey's, going back to my early show, and Eurythmics, because there's a cut on it called Savage. And he gave me a note with it that was attached. It said, "For Michael Savage, thank you for your fearless, unrelenting, well-considered campaign to preserve the borders, language, and culture of our exceptional nation. You are a true warrior." And then on the bottom, it has something very odd. It says, "Fate whispers to the warrior, you cannot withstand the storm." And the warrior whispers back, "I am the storm." And I looked at him when he gave it to me. I was having a drink. And I said, "Did you hear today's show?" I said, "I built the cross and I forged the spikes." And he said, "Yeah, I heard that, Michael. That's why I love you." I just got an email from my number one sponsor, Craig Smith of Swiss America. He's been with the show forever. He's been with me through thick and through thin. Wherever I go, he will go. And I read that fortune on the air. You know what he just wrote me? "So, Michael," he said, "I have sensed something very big and very good is getting ready to happen to you. That is why when you talked about the Palmist read on things, I wanted to stand up and clap. Your largest influence and acknowledgement is just ahead. However, like all great things, there will be great struggle, but you will have supernatural power to not only fight the battle, but to be the victor. Like you have said, nobody that has ever attacked you has succeeded, and in fact has been destroyed in many cases at their own hand." He knows. He's been with me from the beginning. He's seen it all. He's been up and down the line with me. WMAL, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, John?
Michael, I called to tell you the story of my uncle that I lost to World War II in service of his country. And on December the 7th, 1941, my uncle Jack Lummis was playing professional football for the New York Giants. After the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. He went on to join the Marine Corps, and he served valiantly in the Marine Corps and gave his life for freedom on Iwo Jima in March of 1945.
How do you feel about your president going to Hiroshima and saying he's there to honor war, all war dead, not just the American war dead? What does it do to you?
Well, immediately I thought of my Uncle Jack and his service for his country and what he did.
Yes, a great man. A great man. God bless him compared to this creature that we got in the White House, this anti-American. I'll stop right there.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. Our visit to Hiroshima will honor all those who were lost in World War II and reaffirm our shared vision.
Okay, turn them off. Turn off the jackal. World War II. All those who were lost in World War II. Everyone's equal. Japanese who conducted experiments on living people, equal to the American heroes. Again, for those of you who have no concept of comparison, imagine if he went to Auschwitz and he said, I'm here in Auschwitz to honor all those who died in World War II, and didn't mention the Jews. Can you imagine what Abe Foxman Ivey would say? Can you imagine what B'nai B'rith would be doing today? Why, there'd be demands and riots outside the White House. But not one word when it's not about specific fractured demographic groups. When he spits on the graves, largely of white Christian males, I said largely, not entirely, about 98%, maybe higher. Make no mistake about it, I doubt that there were many transsexuals in the graves underneath those crosses in World War II. Not picking on transsexuals, just putting things in context. When you go past a war cemetery, an American war cemetery, and you look at the crosses, you can pretty much sure they were heterosexual, they were white, and they were Christians. Of course African Americans died in World War II and did great service. I had a neighbor who was in the Tuskegee Air Force. I know history, though, so don't lecture me on my knowledge of history. We're talking about the majority of men who gave their lives. Very important you remember. And I think this goes to why he does this, frankly, if you ask me off the record. Now, the Japanese Prime Minister, Mr. Abe, says he doesn't want to visit Pearl Harbor. Listen to clip two. You talk about reciprocity.
At this moment, I don't have any specific plan to visit Hawaii. However, last year, when we marked the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War, I made an official visit to the United States. During my visit to the United States last year,
he's going around saying Pearl Harbor, unlike Obama, who was very clearly in Hiroshima for a reason, which is to spit on the American war dead, to twist the knife into the guts of those of us who had people who died in World War II, to turn the knife, once again, twisted in the guts, twisted the vicious. He is the most amazing actor I've ever seen in the history of the world. He's vicious and makes believe he's nice. Okay, I let me not go down the list. Okay, let me just stop. I can't get into it. Makes my brain hurt. Now you know why Oberlin students want to abolish midterms at any grades below C, because they can't keep up. And because they can't keep up, they're now saying we don't want any grades at all. If you were to grade Obama, let's say, as a president, an American president, he'd get an F. By any standard, he'd get an F. So since he's abolished any grading of a president because he owns the media, you think he's got an A, a triple A. That's all. Because he talks to himself and his stooges in the media. That's all. What's this now? WMAL, Craig, thanks for calling from Washington, D.C. while it lasts. Craig, thanks for calling.
Commonly not known is the United States brought in a majority of the doctors from the Lab 731, and they all went to work at the National Institutes of Health. Some of them working up at Fort Detrick with BioWork, but they came to work, became good GS workers, and actually retired from the government.
Probably living on pension somewhere in Pomona. I didn't know that. I know that we brought in the rocket scientists from Germany who gave us our initial launch in the moon rockets. It was Wernher von Braun and his team that put us into the century. We were way behind in terms of space rocketry. They were way ahead of everybody, as you well know. So, I mean, they used the German scientists. I don't make a comparison, though, between German rocket scientists and these ghouls who conducted the human experiments. They should have been killed. as far as I'm concerned, they should have been executed. How'd they get away with being executed for war crimes?
Well, because we wanted their biological warfare and chemical warfare information, and I worked at NIH, and it was not a well-known secret at all, but they worked there and were honored by NIH. They didn't even want to talk about what they did during the war. It was very hidden.
That's terrible. Thank you for teaching me something I didn't know. Well, live and learn. Learn every day something new. You know, when Donald Trump becomes president, I think there are going to be big changes at the NIH, don't you?
So?
If you were to run the NIH for Donald Trump, what would you do to root out the political operatives who have destroyed pure science? How would you change it?
A lot of the pure science is destroyed by Congress, who mandates what research is done. AIDS and breast cancer are mandated when they fund, and they're wasting money. They throw money away on politically correct diseases, like, you know, $1 million to find out why lesbians are fat.
Mm-hmm. No, that's an important subject for those who were trying to make certain that fat lesbians vote for them. Yeah. Well, all right. We can clean house. There's no question about it. Thanks for the call. 855-407-282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Teddy and Me is my new book. I'm yours truly, Michael Savage. We're honoring American war dead today since the president tried to spit on their graves. We're going to spit at the president. How's that? You like that one? Go ahead. Make my day. See if I care. Go call up Media Matters. Call anyone you want. I don't care. I spit at him for what he's doing to this country. I think he's the most despicable creature that's ever infected the White House. You don't like the words? It's too hot for you? It's too bad, because most of the people in this country who love this country hate him. They hate the man. They don't just disagree with his policies, they hate him. If you actually scratch the surface and you talk to some of the most polite people in this country who really know what he's doing, such as this last act of disrespect to our war dead, they hate him. It's a human emotion, you know. Just as you may hate me, we hate the president. And I don't think hate is illegal. Does that engender any kind of threat against him? No, we just hate him for what he's doing to us. WFTL Gilbert, line one.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call, and thank you, first-time caller.
Well, go ahead. We don't have unlimited time. There's not a telephone with a friend. Please, national radio, speed it up.
I understand. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to say I'm a veteran, and my father was one before me fighting the Japanese in China. And I wanted to thank you for bringing up the issue with the Japanese for what they did during World War II. It's not a publicly known issue, but thank you for bringing it up, because it needs to be brought up to the world.
Well, I'm only bringing it up not because I have any animosity toward the Japanese people. I said over and over again, I admire the society and the culture very much. However, if the president's going to spit on our war dead's graves, I have an obligation to tell America why he is wrong and what I think of him. And I thank you for calling with that memory. Let's go through the other memories on the Savage Nation. Boy, we're getting a lot of callers out of WMAL. It's almost eerie. Is that where all of the war veterans' descendants live? There are none in San Francisco. There are none in New York. There are none in Kansas City. There are none in Reno. There are none in Texas on KLIF. None of you had relatives who fought in World War II? KSFO, Ray, welcome to the program. You're from San Francisco. Who did you lose in World War II?
My father was in World War II. He was in the Marine Corps in Guadalcanal, and I had five uncles in the military then also. Well, all came home, but Grandma said they were different, especially my Uncle Robert. He became an alcoholic, and we lost him back in the 60s. But, you know,
it did things to people. I can't even divulge what I know from my own personal situation. They didn't know about PTSD in those days. But, you know, men can only see so much, do so much, without cracking inside.
Yeah, they came home and they did what they were supposed to do. They got a family, they took care of their families. You know, I don't know, PTSD, whatever that happened to them or not. But I didn't see it, you know, but I'm very...
How do you feel with your president? Well, I'd say no, excuse me. Pelosi's president going to Hiroshima and saying he's there to honor all war dead and not American dead. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I feel he's not my president. You know, he's somebody else's. But for him to go over there and say that, to spit on those boys that were all killed, you know, and the things that happened to them and the atrocities that happened to them. Like I said, my dad was in Guadalcanal, but he also was aboard ship. He shot down the enemy aircraft, the kamikazes, and he looked to his friend after one blew up, right? And his friend wasn't there. His boots were there, but his friend was gone. You know, just
maybe Obama missed that when he was studying at a madras in Indonesia. Maybe it wasn't translated into Arabic, the heroes of America. I mean, maybe they didn't teach that in the Islamic grade school that he went to about American history. That could be the reason. It's just that he is ignorant of American history.
Yeah,
and his mother maybe didn't teach it to him.
Yeah,
I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, Ray. I mean, my heart breaks listening to this story. I have only, you know, I'll wind up with PTSD if I take this a little too much deep. You think I'm not going to crack from this? I'm not. It would have happened a long time ago, believe me. Some days I say, hold on, man. Just hold on, because this is a tough ride sometimes. And you see this guy, I told you it would get worse. I told you it would get worse. And this is only May. It's only May. This guy's got June, July, August, September, October, November to do everything he can to destroy our will to live, to destroy our faith in ourselves and our nation, to flood us with Syrian Muslims without vetting them, to bring in as many diseased immigrants as he can to make them wards of the state, to keep printing money until your very dollar itself has the value of it eaten out like as though mice broke into a cheese factory. This is the Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Attention, American citizens. If you have a nose ring or a ring on your soul, please turn the radio off, because we're talking about a new low for this rotten human being in the White House. An absolute disgrace to the United States of America. And that's what we're talking about. Another apology tour. Another apology tour, that's what he's doing. Slapping our veterans in the face, especially around Memorial Day weekend. Who is it who advises him? Who is it who whispers in this creature's ears and says, go around Memorial Day, go to Hiroshima and spit on the graves of the American troops who allowed a man as low as you to rise to such a high position, that they gave this country such freedom that even a man like you could rise to the highest position. Go spit on their graves. People write on my Facebook that Diana Scott says, my dad must be turning his grave. He was a gunner in the Navy. He made eye contact with the kamikaze before shooting them down. His greatest fears was they would descend out of his firing range as the gun wouldn't pivot enough in all directions. Oh, a lot of great stuff coming up here. Richard Schenberg says, all war dead? Having heard all war dead live on the Savage Nation today, I conclude that BHO included the entire Axis, including Nazis, fascists, Arab terrorists, and British Palestine. Yeah. So he's linked them up with those now. I got that. Okay, most of us know who he is, and most of us know that the leader is an anti-American. Obama is just so anti-American. How many books have I told you? How many times have I told you that he would do a lot worse before it was over? So what does he mean by he's celebrating all war dead? Is he including the German soldiers who conquered northern France? Who was he including in all war dead? All of the members of the Hitler Youth? All guards in Dachau, Auschwitz, Birkenau? Are those the war dead he's also celebrating? What can I say? I feel I've done everything I can do today, frankly. You know, if you say, where does this man stand in terms of class, a class act? He's as low class as they get. And Hillary would even be worse than him. And that's why Trump is going to win. Most Americans know that. I also talked about my experiences with palmistry. And we're going to have Vernon, who read my poem and made these predictions on in the next hour. The Japanese were inhumane on December 7th, 1941, beginning with Pearl Harbor. And all you hear about is the atomic bombs. Look up Unit 731. Go ahead. Go ahead. Why don't you educate yourself, all of you intelligentsia out there? Research Unit 731. Do a Google. I'm sure it's on the Google site somewhere. And see what they did to living human beings. Is he celebrating those scientists as well? Obama honors all war dead in World War II. All war dead. That includes Nazis, that includes fascists, that includes torturers. I can ask you over and ago, I know how you feel about it. I'm not going to ask you how you feel about it. Obama says G7 Hiroshima trip is to honor all war dead. There's nothing more I can add. This is on Memorial Day weekend. I'm surprised he didn't say he was sorry for America dropping the A-bombs on Japan. You know, we expected an apology tour. This is what it is. This is an apology tour. He doesn't have to actually apologize. I told you, just by going there, he would be apologizing. The head of Japan, the Japanese prime minister, said he has no plans to visit Pearl Harbor. Where's the reciprocity from Mr. Abe? Prime Minister Abe, and it's not Abe Lincoln we're talking about. It's Abe or Abe. I don't know how to pronounce it. Excuse me if you're Japanese. Mr. Abe, we'll call him Honest Abe. Japanese Prime Minister Abe says, I have no plans to visit Pearl Harbor. At the same time, Obama goes there and says he's honoring all war dead. Well, okay, I made the point. I think I've spent my hours well. And I have another huge hour to go here on the Savage Nation. If you want to chime in on this from any station in America, the phone number is 855-407-2822. We're also going to get into all of the Savage Nation news that I haven't touched on. Pope Francis has asked God to convert the hearts of Islamic terrorists because they're blowing up churches and killing Christians, torturing them, killing them, blowing up churches. And he wants God to convert the hearts of Islamic terrorists. That would be like saying, oh, dear God, please convert the hearts of the Nazis as they're throwing Jewish children into the ovens. No, it wasn't the prayer to God that defeated the Nazis. It was Eddie, who's rotting in his grave somewhere in Europe. That's who liberated Europe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Who is the master? Who is the master that permits this devil of ours in the White House to do these things to us without consequences? Hey, welcome to Hour 3. And in New York City, under Mario de Blasio, the pay-and-play mayor, the most corrupt mayor, in my estimation, since the age of Tammany Hall. The new Tammany Hall under de Blasio will be known as de Blasio Hall. And in de Blasio Hall, they've just decriminalized peeing in the street, littering, and drinking alcohol in the gutters. That's right. You can now pee in the street, get drunk in the street, and litter the streets under de Blasio Hall. Offenders will now pay civil fines and not risk a criminal record. So if you're walking with your daughter in New York City and a bum pees in the street, you call a cop, the cop can't arrest him. He can arrest you because you may be violating the bum's rights. You could have destroyed the bum's self-esteem. Now, this is the opposite of Mayor Bloomberg's day of the arresting the squeegee men for rubbing greasy rags on windshields. That's when crime was at a peak in New York. So you ask yourself, why do progressives want crime? You don't understand why yet? I figured it out 20 years ago. It took me a long time to figure out why progressives love crime. Because if you are in the middle class, if you're worried about stepping in human fecal matter in a street or avoiding human urine or being assaulted by a bum in San Francisco or New York or Chicago or wherever, then you're not going to focus on those making billions in the green mail scandals or getting paid for contracts in the city of San Francisco or New York. How do you think these governments survive? They have corrupt judges.
Oh, black robe, black robe, black robe.
Honest is the day. The judges. It's an oxymoron in San Francisco, judge. You don't even want to get a driving ticket and face one of them. But the fact of the matter is, the reason they keep you off base is to make sure you don't look at what they're actually doing, robbing the Treasury blind. That's why. It's not that they're compassionate or they're liberal. They're not liberal at all. It's the opposite of liberalism. True liberals wouldn't want urine in the streets. True liberals wouldn't want littering. A liberal wouldn't want that. So there you go. It's they say they're doing it so that lives are not ruined by criminal charges for minor offenses. I just love it. Peeing in the street, loitering, littering, drinking alcohol out of a bag, bottling. They're the quality of life crimes under on a mayor corrupto the mayor Bill DiCorruptio. No longer crimes. State Department official: no excuse for governments to not enforce effective border controls. But what about here? How about our border patrols? Okay. DHS admits it's still violating judge's order on immigration amnesty. Jay Johnson should be arrested. The minute Trump becomes president, he should look into all of these people who violated judge's orders and, frankly, retroactively arrest them and try them for whatever the crime is. Why are they doing this? Why? Because the president is a lawless monster. So they're a lawless monster. Next topic, Moscow Times, why Cossacks are making a comeback in Russia. That's interesting. I won't even go into that because we have our own Cossacks. They're all in Corcoran or in San Quentin. Here are some other headlines. Pope Francis asks God to convert the hearts of Islamic terrorists. Yeah, that should really work on them. Let me focus on it. Pope Francis is praying that the Islamic terrorists will stop killing people because he's praying to God. I'm going to play for you a tape now of a Florida Muslim professor defending ISIS chopping off hands in clip 7. This is going on in our country under Obama. Instead of arresting this professor and throwing him out of the country, he's welcoming tens of thousands of more like him. Listen to number 7.
We just mentioned one and stop here, which is, let's say, cutting the hand of a person if they steal. It sounds very stupid, it sounds very barbaric, I know. But if it takes one or two people to have their hands cut off and then there's no more stealing in the whole nation, that's a much better resolution than having hundreds of people die every day.
Well, by the same argument, Professor, I would say that... I can't. It's a radio show. I'm sorry. Let's see. How could I put it without losing my job in radio? Let's see. If I would say... No, can't say that. Professor, let me think. Let me see what wouldn't sound so severe that I lose my radio show. Let's see. If we... No, can't say that, Professor. To one or two Muslim professors, that would stop the rest of them. I can't say that, Professor. See, we don't have Sharia law in this country. We actually have a law that's a mockery. There is no law in America. The law itself is a mockery, especially when they have a lawless administration like this that goes around the law as often as they wish. And then they only use the law when people try to stop them. That's why he studied constitutional law, in order to get around it. That's all. All right, next topic. Obama administration sued business because it kept male employee out of a women's room. EEOC? Okay. Consequences. When Trump's president, they retroactively arrest everyone in the EEOC and take back what they stole from businesses. Intruders breach U.S. airport fences about every 10 days. Ho-hum. Russia killed 28,000 militants in Syria, a third of all ISIS forces. Well, of course that's why ISIS is on the run, not because of Obama. He did nothing for 3 years. He conducted a fake war. He dropped empty bombs, bombed the desert. ISIS kept growing and metastasized because they were his boys. Come on, wake up, for God's sakes. Everyone knows the CIA was dropping weapons to ISIS in order to topple Assad. I told you that over and over again in Stop the Coming Civil War. I wrote about it. It's no secret. Everyone in the military intelligence community knows that's true. And then Moscow started the bombing in September of last year. And they eliminated one-third of the Islamic State vermin in the country. One-third. And that was the beginning, by the way, of this turnaround. Of course, Obama's making believe that it's we did it. I wish we had done it. We could have eliminated ISIS in about 3 months, according to all military estimates. Even at its peak, they could have been eliminated in 3 months. And that's without going the nuclear option and taking out their homeland with their wives and children. Millennials are more likely to live at home than any other young adults in American history. Pew Research Center. I need a clothespin on my nose when I read Pew Research Center. Millennial men are more likely to live with their parents than with a spouse or partner, with 35% staying with mom and dad, and 28% living with a significant other. Well, you know what the reasons are. It's expensive. How can they live outside of the house? The apartments are expensive. It's not that there's anything wrong with them. I'm sure every guy who's living at home with his mother and father would rather have his own apartment. He can't afford it. The costs are too high. So what's the answer? Oh, give him a free apartment in Manhattan or in San Francisco. Build special millennial apartments for nothing. Let them, because they're entitled to it. It's their lifestyle. No, well, the answer is the answer. That's the only, stay with the parents. What's wrong with that? That's what houses are for. So in his room, instead of take out the model airplanes and the pennants from the high school games, and you put up the new things that he has up there, whatever they are, whatever. They're not model airplanes, whatever. I don't want to get lewd. But he redecorates the room, and he makes believe, goes out on a date with the hair puffed up, puts on the gel, the cologne, marches around like he's a billionaire with an undershirt in the club. He can't afford a single drink, and he marches around. I mean, he was going home to his mother's house. I don't blame him. It's a rough thing out there. It's a rough world. But I'm reminded this is not the first time in modern history when kids in their 20s stayed home because they couldn't afford to move out. I remember early Federico Fellini movies. There's a very famous one. I don't know whether it was a Marquardt. I don't know. It wasn't a Marquardt. One of those about life in Italy. It was usually pre-World War II history in Italy. It was very common. I remember to this day, there was a scene I loved of the mother and the father in their big Italian house in somewhere in Italy. And it was cold. You know, they didn't heat those houses. They had thick walls. They had small windows, logically, unlike the moronic houses of today, which have huge windows, which let the heat in and let everything's reversed. The reason that small windows was to keep the house insulated. But go tell that to the geniuses at the schools of architecture. And then they wonder why energy costs are through. So they show the Italian houses dark. They stayed cool in the summer without air conditioning and rather warm in the winter with one fireplace in the room because it was good insulation. But in that house, there was mother and father and a grandmother usually. And there was a boy at home, maybe 30, 35, with a hairnet walking around. A doll walking around with his getting his hair ready to go out that night to whatever they went in the town to meet girls or whoever. He was the precious son. He didn't work. He stayed home. Now, when the parents died, he got the house. So it's not so unusual. There's nothing weird about it. So it's not really a news story why millennials are staying home than any other young adults in American history. But it's not, you know, in modern Western history, kids stay home. I, thank God, left at 18. I couldn't wait to get out. I would rather have lived in a cardboard box than stay with my parents. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about my palm reader, Vernon. And then we'll get back to the news. Trump, of course, is where he should be. Reached the delegate number to clinch the GOP nomination. Ted Cruz is moving back to Canada along with his cheerleaders. Vernon Mahabal, welcome to the Savage Nation. Vernon, how are you today?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Vernon, how did you read my palm? Did I send you a Xerox of it?
Michael, I have a print of your hand on file, and I actually have a mental imprint of your hand back, I think, in 1994, because I was
But you know, Vernon, the hand has gotten older. The striated lines on the fingers on the inside of the palm are much, much more striated and much more frequent. They occur more frequently. My hands look like a Xerox machine of each other, my fingers.
You said,
I always wondered about my lifeline because it was cut when I was 5 years old. I almost died on a rusty fence in the Bronx, but I was always freaked out about my lifeline. People know a few things about palmistry. What is palmistry?
Well, palmistry is actually a brother or a sister to astrology. It is a science. It's not really a psychic tool, although a lot of people who come to palmistry.
But why is it that Christians reject astrology, saying it's too generic or palmistry?
Well, you know, Michael, that's an interesting question. The three wise men, for instance, wizener actually in Greece means astrologer. And if you, I've lived in England, I've lived in Malaysia, I've lived in India. This is the only country in the world where the Christians actually think that astrology and palmistry are not God's work.
Wait, you mean in other countries, Christians, some of them at least do accept these forms of seeing?
Absolutely. The Anglican Church in England, they have a huge history of actually Jesus consulting with astrologers and soothsayers. And, of course, their whole culture is about mysticism, John Dee and
I love it. See, that's why I don't listen to other people telling me what to believe in.
Right.
So let's get down to brass tacks. I told you I'm going through some kind of crisis right now, and where will I be in 2017? And you sent me this amazing prediction that great things are coming, new level of renown, I'm no longer going to be a lone wolf on the tundra of my career, wider audience, face of a new crusade, much in the driver's seat, a harvest year. Where did you get all this from, Vernon?
From your hand, and the hand is the astrological chart. So I looked a little astrological aspect also on the computer, stuff that I just needed to look at very detailed. What's going on with you, Michael, I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis here. There's 12 different planets to look at. And, of course, when we look at the sun signs, that's only one planet in one sign. The whole aspect of the horoscopes I'm not a big fan of, although in a very general way they work. When you are in your 50s, your early 50s, your progressed sun, what we call in Western astrology, progressed sun went into Gemini. It had been in Taurus for 30 years. When it was in Taurus, it was a struggle. And of course, you know that. Now, when you hit around 51, your progressed sun went into Gemini. That was the start of your career, and it's been a struggle. It's been a fight, but you've gotten a lot of success through it. Now, I'm going to add a little bit more to the mix here. You are ruled by Mars. Mars is your ruling planet. So in Western astrology, there's something called a ruling planet. And what that means is that this is the most important or the most powerful planet in a person's chart. And Mars, they always call it the red planet, the planet of war. But it goes beyond that. Mars is a planet of drive and determination and motivation. This is why you've always had that. Mars is that planet of taking the initiative, understanding that I'm going to make it if I work hard and I struggle and I discipline myself. So Mars is that planet of hard work, struggle, and effort, and a feeling internally that you know you're going to make it. You're going to be successful if you work hard. And so that is your ruling planet. The planet is the planetary aspect.
But Vernon, I don't want to interrupt you. I love your flow. But remember I came to you a few years ago when I was at a hiatus in my radio career, and you saw something big happening. I hit a stone wall. I went into an abyss, an absolute canyon. There was nothing. And within a few days or almost a week within that time period, before I knew it, I had a major league contract with Cumulus, and I was on 250 stations. What do you see coming in 2017 is what I want to know, and how do you see that? Because things keep changing, and I want to know what phase you think or you see that I am in right now, because I sense that there's something much bigger out there, even than radio, by the way. And radio has been wonderful to me, but I sense that there may be something beyond that, and I don't know whether it's connected to politics or not. It may not be. It could be connected to animals or I don't have no idea what it is, but I know that there's something up there. And I'd love to see from your perspective, because look, if I go to a priest or to a rabbi, they don't look into the future. All they do is tell you to read the Bible and God loves you, and that's the end of it. I prefer to learn a little bit more from other walks into the other worlds. Stay with us on the Savage Nation with Vern, PalmistryInstitute.com.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. I know it's a big change from the normal tempo of the show, but okay. There's a normal tempo, and then there's all sorts of other stuff. Listen to Beethoven, and you'll understand what I'm doing here. So we're in a different part of the symphony today. We're speaking with Vernon Mahabal, my palmist, palmistryinstitute.com. And where are you? Vernon, welcome back, line 10 on the Savage Nation. Vernon, so I wrote to you because Donald Trump will likely become president, and I don't want to ask you what you're going to predict on that. And he's a direct reaction to the years that we've had under Barack Obama. And you know Donald's been on the show since 2011. What do you see in the future? Do you see me working in a government?
Let me put it to you this way. I just want to say something quick about Trump. I looked at his hand on the internet. He's never been a personal client of mine, but I grew up in New York, and I've always admired what he's done. Having said that, I looked at his hand in 2012 on an internet site, and I said, he's going to run for president, and he's going to become the president. I knew this in 2012. I used to tell my friends this all the time. He's going to become president. There's no question. I never doubted it for a second. Sans any type of foul play from whatever side, he is going to become the president. Now, the interesting thing, Michael, is that his ruling planet is Uranus. And Uranus, guess what that planet is called? It's called the revolutionary. And what I see in his hand is that he is finally stirring up the conservatives and the people who like morals and standards and ethics and right and wrong to finally do what the liberals have been doing for the last 50 years and go out there and make some noise. There is going to be a conservative revolution now. And he is the archetype of that. He's leading the fight. Because Uranus is the revolutionary, and that's what he is. He's leading a revolution. I think, for instance, the conservatives have had enough. They've had enough. And now they're waking up. So, Michael, what I see in your chart is I talked about Mars and how Mars gives you initiative and drive and determination. Now, the interesting thing is in 2 years, you're going into something called double Mars. And double Mars means that the end of struggle and hard work is over, and now you become the general. The archetype of Mars is the general, the leader in that respect. So now you are going, when you go into double Mars, you're heading into that right now. But you will be fully into it in 2018. And so the next 2 years are going to be very pivotal for you, and you're going to be meeting with all kinds of very capable people in the media. You're going to be all over the media. This is what I see. It could be filmed. It could be being interviewed on television, all over the place. You're going to be, as I hate to use this phrase, but the king of all media in this regard. You will also take the position of being a spokesman, of a pioneer. The radio show that you've had is about, in a sense, going against the crowd, going against the flow. It's being the maverick. And now the maverick is going to be the respected maverick. It's going to be you're going to become the general in your field. And so the respect, the acclaim, the renown will all be there.
But wait, you said something about the next 2 years being struggle for me before the double Mars kicks in 2018. Do you still see me being on radio as I am currently on radio, or am I doing something else? What do you see?
I see you keeping your radio show in some respects. I do. The point that I see very, very strongly in your hand, Michael, is that it's all about communication and getting your message out. And something that's very dear to your heart is healing people and helping people and wanting to help and heal people. So you see your radio show subconsciously as something where you're trying to help people and heal people and move forward somehow. So it's an important thing for you to have a radio show, because in your heart of hearts, you feel you're doing something where you're adding some type of help and assistance to people. You're giving people light at the end of the tunnel. So it's a dear thing to you, actually.
Now, you said that huge changes are coming for you as early as this November. And if you felt like a lone wolf on the tundra in your career, very flowery language, Vernon, thank you. Why November? What happens in November?
In November, you go through this Pluto-Saturn transit. And it's a year of, astrologers will call this a power year. And what I call it for you is reaping the rewards of what you struggled for the last 30, 40 years, radio being one of them.
All right, what about Donald Trump and the new government? I want to ask you point blank. I have never asked for a position, nor do I think I am capable of doing such a thing. Do you envision something like that happening?
You know, Michael, you've asked me a few years ago, should I get into politics? And I remember telling you no. But at the same time, I could absolutely see you taking a position within government in some aspect of wanting to reframe something or reorganize something.
I would be lying if I said I haven't fantasized about fixing the NIH or the NSF, because they need fixing. They become like political arms of the Obama leftist machine, and we don't have any real pure science anymore. Everything is political. And young guys or young women who are brilliant are forced to think a certain way and forced to do certain kind of studies. It's actually crippling us in the world of science. That's an area that needs fixing, whether it's me or somebody else. But, you know, Vernon, come on. Everyone listening to this show knows that I'm too much of a maverick to sit in a chair all day with a suit and tie on and report to a desk 10 hours a day. I just couldn't do it, Vernon.
I don't think you're going to do it either, but you will have some influence and impact in that world. But that you'll, you know, go to Washington, D.C. to take care of this job, no, I don't see that. But I do see some influence or possibly a position doing something like that, absolutely. Remember, Michael, you're in double Mars, so it's going to be... you're going to be taking more charge. You're going to be taking more leadership. Mars is about leadership, Michael. Mars is about, in a weird type of a way, being somewhat of a boss. Not that that's in your chart, but in a sense, taking charge, being in a position of leadership. And this is going to happen for the next 20 years. You'll be in this position.
How much longer am I going to live, Vernon?
I never.
You know, it's funny. It's the first thing, if someone ever goes to a fortune teller, a palmist, a reader, the first thing they ask is, tell me how long I'm going to live. Will I be healthy? Isn't it true that's what they ask you?
Yeah, people go to the fraudulent ones, but a professional, respectable reader will never, ever tell a person how long they're going to live. That's up to God. And, of course, if somebody's going to have a problem, let's say at 35 or 40, I may alert them to some maybe some type of behavior that they're doing that could prevent them from an untimely death. But I think it's really unprofessional to tell a person how long they're going to live. But
you want to hear something odd, guys? Listen to this. I was once on an airplane in the 80s flying on business. And I would never forget to this day, it was a small 737 United Airlines first class, which was only around 6-8 seats, I don't remember what. And in those days, there was no air marshals, there was no, you know, nothing like that in the 80s. And I remember I would drink my way across the country because I wanted to calm down. I knew pilots who flew and they drank their whole way across the country as passengers because they didn't like not being in control. So I was drinking and a very well-dressed Chinese lady was sitting next to me. And I saw she didn't want to talk, you know, it was like I could see the vibes were like, leave me alone, fine. I sat and drank my drinks. She did what she was doing. All of a sudden, the plane hit a storm. And that plane started to shake up and down, so I waved to the stewardess in those days. I said, could you bring me two more of those little bottles? And she smiled in those days. She held onto the seats and hobbled over and gave me the bottles. No one said put the trays, this and that. I drank the two bottles. So the woman next to me got so frightened, she reached out, she grabbed my upper arm and held on to me. And then we started to talk. It turns out that her father in China, she was the head of a major American corporation. Her father in China was one of the most famous, I think she said, herbalists or something like, I don't know what he was, like very high up in the world of China. I said, do you have any of those powers? Yes, blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, can you read me? Yes. She read my hand. So she looked at my fingers and she said, you're going to be very wealthy and you're going to live a very long life. Now, at the time, I was not very wealthy and I didn't think I would live even to this age. How did she know that? Because of the lines in my fingers? How does she know these things?
Michael, astrology is the science of time, and everything is seen in your hand. Your destiny, a person's character, their talents and abilities. And by looking at the palm, which is actually an astrological chart, you can let a person know their times of struggle, their times of success, their times of struggle and success, when a person's going to get married, the type of job they should do, where they should live. We have a destiny. We also, God gives us the free will to live that destiny or even do a better job and make our masterpiece. But at the same time, we do have a destiny, and that destiny is formed of talents and abilities that we have worked on in previous lives also. So when I look at someone...
Let me pause right here. So here you are, a palmist with the palmistryinstitute.com, and you believe in God as well. Are you a Christian?
I grew up as a Roman Catholic, but then when I went to India, I changed my spirituality to what they call Vaishnavism. For instance, sometimes you play that piece, the Hare Krishna piece, by that
yes,
group.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I know all the Google employees are listening. Vernon, stay on. I want to do this. Folks, listen, I know this is an odd divergence. This is like the diverticulosis of talk radio right now, because I didn't say the word Trump more than once in 15 minutes, or Hillary. I'm going to open the lines up at 855-407-282, and if you get on, you can ask Vernon one question and get off the air. We'll take his answers off the air. Any questions about palmistry, about any predictions for America on the Savage Nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. I can still taste the tofu out of Sproul Plaza. For years I was working for my doctorate, they had a truck with the tofu I was eating in those days, and the Krishnites would dance. Hare Krishna, they shaved their head. Vernon, welcome back. We're speaking with Vernon Mahabal, palmistryinstitute.com. Vernon, is this your original name, Mahabal, or is that a name you got in the ashram?
No, this is the name my parents gave me, but my spiritual name is Vidura.
If your name is Mahabal, then you're Indian? You're East Indian by birth?
Yeah, well, my dad's Indian, and my mom is Italian.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mambo Italiano. Okay, let's take a couple of quick... How do you combine tofu and meatballs? I have to figure that one out. Janine on WBOB, fire away. What question do you have for Vernon the Palmist? Bingo, gone. Line 5, shot in the wind. Then first arrow broken. The stalk broke. That's all. That was a good question. She was asking if Dr. Savage will start his own media company, is what she asked.
I don't think so, no.
No, I'm not a businessman. I would have said no. I'm not going to become the Zarelev Zanuck of radio. I'm not buying stations and running a business. That's the last thing I would try to do. It's the toughest thing in the world. I just want to be on air. I'm an educator. I'm a communicator. That's what I do. Nothing else. It's that simple. Jeannie on KSFO, San Francisco. Jeannie, what's your question for Vernon?
I'd like to know if there's any way to tell if your loved one is in peace in heaven after they passed away.
We'll take that off the air. Go ahead, Vernon. Can you tell that?
Michael, I didn't hear the question.
Can you tell if someone comes to you if a loved one is at peace in heaven?
Yes, you can. Because if someone has been married to someone else or they've been in their family for a long time, the hand register is emotional. So you can absolutely, we're connected emotionally. I mean, the soul, which is within the innermost core of our heart, is purely a devotional or an emotional mechanism, if you wish. So,
Vernon, I could have you on another 5 hours right now because, you know, I'm looking at my hands. They're not the hands that were the same hand I Xeroxed and sent you many years ago. The lines have changed. They become more pronounced in terms of the fingers. The vertical lines are far more pronounced, for example, than they were 20 years ago. The lifeline, of course, doesn't change, where I have a huge scar running right through the lifeline from when I was a kid. What city are you in, Vernon?
I live in Los Angeles, Orange County.
Well, the next time I'm in Los Angeles, we've got to get together over either a meatball at Dantana's or we'll go to an Indian restaurant that I know.
I hate Indian food.
What don't you like about it?
How it tastes. I don't like curry.
So what, you're an Indian fortune teller who likes Italian food, or what do you like, a knish?
I love Italian food.
All right. Well, Vernon Mahabal, palmistryinstitute.com. If you have any questions, I'm sure he can, answer them if you want from this point of view. It's not a violation of your Christian or Jewish beliefs, I don't believe. If it is, we're not telling you to violate your belief system. We are exposing you to a different system of seeing. And that's it for today. Barack Obama violating his oath of office by stabbing American troops in the back, telling reporters his trip to Hiroshima was to honor all war dead. The equivalent of a president going to Auschwitz and saying he's honoring all war dead. Can you imagine the outcry from the Jewish community? Attention, progressives. That's the outcry that's occurring in the American community. Vernon, thanks for being with us. Everyone else, thanks. Jim, Robert, everyone else, thanks for making the show possible. God bless America.